Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, we want to welcome everybody to the cafe tonight or during the day, depending if you're checking us out on demand. We thank you for that as well. We've got people all over the world checking us out on demand. I think that's just so awesome. So we have a couple of our regulars tonight. I'm so glad they're here to scoot us to the table and be checking in. Miss Gloria, how are you this evening?
You know, it's just been such a lovely day, and this evening I am just so happy to sit down and take a break and have a conversation.
Well, I'm glad to have you be a part of the conversation. Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Oh, Mr. Jamie, calling in from Seattle, Washington, and I'm doing okay.
You're doing okay. How is Seattle?
Yeah, that was okay.
Okay, good. Well, good. Well, you know, what's the point of complaining anyway? That's a whole show. Maybe we could talk about that tonight. That's actually could be a part of our conversation tonight. So we're at the end of the month. Can you believe we're already in the summer? They're saying it's officially the summer, although we know better with the summer. The summer solstice isn't until the 21st of June, which is officially summer. But it seems like after we have Memorial Day, everybody's don't they have that rule like you're not supposed to wear white? What's that rule, Gloria? Do you know?
Well, I know that you're not supposed, it's after September that you're not supposed to wear white.
Oh, that's the Labor Day thing. Okay, good.
Yeah, it's like Labor Day is the cutoff date.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah. So
I don't remember when
that,
you get to start, though. I think it's Easter.
Easter, okay. It's like after, it's not wearing white after that Labor Day weekend, right? Something like that.
Right.
We live in California. California's just
been
like.
It's been a long time since I've heard that one.
I know. Well, I think because it's partly because we live on the West Coast with, you know, San Diego and here in Riverside, California, and also with Seattle, Washington, which is the West Coast. West Coasters just kind of wear white when we feel like it.
The thing I remember growing up, my mother always said, you never wear plaids with stripes and you don't wear pink with red.
Oh, my God. You know what? And when I was little, it's like you don't wear black and brown at the same time.
Oh, my. I never heard that one.
I know, but I don't, there was just such a biggie one. And I remember a few years ago when I did it, I felt like such a rebel.
Wow.
I know. And, like, you know, leopards have been just breaking the rule forever. I mean, with their whole black and brown, you know, brown and
well,
black
you know,
thing kind of happened.
And when I started watching international news and then we'd go to other countries and I would look at it, and even to this day, I go, plaids and stripes, nah.
That's, you know, it's so funny. It's such a generational thing about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. I mean, you know, being a florist, you know, a shameless plug, Robin, me have a flower shop in Riverside, California called Flowers for You. And I mean, forever, there's just so many rules with weddings. And, you know, I'm glad to say that nowadays, at least for the last 5, if not 10 years, there's just so many things that are basically not even, they're totally either off the table or, you know, you don't even do that. I mean, it used to be you just didn't wear black to a wedding. And gosh, you know, black weddings are, I did a wedding not that long ago that was the apple green with black. That was the colors of the wedding. So it was very pretty, too. It was very, very pretty. She actually used apples in the wedding. So it was one of those, Twitter moments when people were just kind of doing that stuff. So I was thinking it would be really great since we haven't really had a chance to all just chat for a little while because we've been having a lot of wonderful guests on. And just remind everybody, if you go to transformation-cafe.com, we've got at least 5 or 6 shows that we're kind of changing our format, make sure that they're out there for everybody. And we're now on iTunes. So if you go to iTunes, those shows are available for you on demand. And there's some really wonderful pictures, a little bit of bios, a little bit of descriptions of the shows as well. And a place there for comments and things like that. And if you'd like to be on the show as a guest chef, that's a great place to go to be able to contact us. And if anybody listening right now that would like to go ahead and call in, the contact number for the switchboard is going to be 646-727-3206. And we'd love to have you join into our conversation. So since we're at the Transformation Cafe, I thought it would be really interesting to ask our regular diners here about their transformations and that coulda, shoulda, woulda kind of thing. So if you could think about yourself maybe 10 years younger and go back and think about how I transformed myself, what would you be saying to yourself now that would really be helping you in a way of being that smarter, younger, 10 years younger person than you are now? So anybody want to jump into that? Jamie, do you have anything that jumps, that really comes to like, oh, yeah, if I knew that, then I wouldn't be there. I know better kind of a thing.
Wow, that's a pretty loaded question. I might have to think about that a little bit.
Okay. Miss Gloria, do you have anything that pops up for you?
I was going, I'm so glad she asked Jamie first.
Well, if you both are stumped, I did write down a few things
I am totally not stumped. I was thinking about that today. And,
my telepathic inquiry. That's good.
Well, and there are those times where, I look at it, and where the circumstances I'm in now, and I look back, and, I was listening to an ad, I think it was a television ad, but they were talking about financial planning, and you had the father and the son going out to dinner, and the son picks up the tab, and you hear the internal conversation, and it's a company that does financial planning, and so you have one that's saying, I hope he's saving enough money, and then you have the other one that says, I wonder if he has saved enough money, talking about retirement and things. And it's interesting because there are certain little triggers that bring up those hindsight moments. And yet, even if there are some things that I would like to have projected for and been more auspicious in what I'm doing, but if I had, then I may not have learned the lessons or made the discoveries or experienced the things that I needed to. So I don't look at it in a state of regret or I wish I had, because I recognize that life is many different choices, and each of those choices creates a new path and a vein in which we experience those things that help us to grow. And the choices are made normally based upon a lesson that we need to experience so that we can move beyond it. So that being said, I wish that, if I'm going back further than 10 years, I'm wishing that I had taken precautions so I didn't get so far down the road on certain things, like, not taking care of my body in certain ways that I could have. Taking different steps. And yet, those things that I experienced, I needed to. So I am here and moving forward with the next step. And that will provide me with understandings, and it will provide me with the ability when I encounter other people to come from authenticity, saying, yes, I know.
Yeah, I was going to say that there's so much to knowing when that comes to that level of wisdom, when you're talking to somebody and you're really looking at them like, I know what you're saying. And you know that they do, without even adding anything to the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right, and they can feel it. And so, knowing the path that you're on, you may not always be able to see the path. It could be dark in the moonlight showing, and you may miss that beautiful rock that you would have seen if the lights were on, but if the lights weren't off, you may not have seen the gorge that you just jumped over. It could be a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's really true, because I know some people, and I can say personally, when my mom and I started the flower shop together back, over 30 years ago, if we knew everything that we would have had to, you know, go through and learn and, you know, just to the process of just developing things. And, you know, there isn't so much to be said for just education, but some of the things that you thought, you know, you never thought you were going to put yourself into, that you, the level of accomplishment that you can have when you just, you know, you buckle down and you get it done. It's quite satisfying and very proud to be able to look back on that when it comes to levels of being in business or just having any kind of thing that you just have a passion about. And when you're coming from levels of passion, it really can add so much more to just the journey, even though you don't really know what's in front of you. You know, just following through with those kinds of things. It's just very, very exciting.
And the thing that is, the thing that there's also something to be said for is looking back and recognizing who you were and seeing, because we change as we go along. And I remember in grade school, there was such a, during the era that I was growing up, the century, there was such a, where the girls and the boys were always separate in grade school when it would come to the dances. And you'd always have the girls on one side, and you'd have the boys on the other. And they were always hee-hee-heeing, and I'm not going to go. And I was taking dance class, grade school through high school and beyond. I actually did some other things beyond high school. But the idea of just getting up and dancing was not something that was a good thing. It was just dancing. And I still remember just going, oh, you guys are crazy. And I would just pull a bunch of girls out, and we would just start dancing. It was just the idea of dancing. So, you know, I look at business now and being able to go, hey, it's just this, and going in and just going, not so much head first, but taking action, you know, and looking back at that and saying, I want to embrace who I was at that point in time for these things that help us along the way.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that they talk about when it comes to business or really anything. It's just do it. Just get started. You know, not wait on anything or anyone. When you have that kind of a passion, you can get something, you know, just to get a momentum going. They say that that's the one thing that really stops people in their tracks is it's just a matter of something like that. So we've got a caller. So, hey, caller, 7680, how are you doing this night?
Hi, my name's Melissa from New York.
Hey, Melissa, how are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to know, I'm curious about, I see sometimes people talk about fairies and talk about unicorns, and I wanted to know, are they real? Or is it just a magical tale?
Have you seen a fairy?
No, you see them in the cartoons.
Oh, you see them in the cartoons. Okay, it comes from the
cartoons.
So, well, personally, I'm a nature intuitive, and I think on the very mythical level that, you know, things get moved, and it's kind of hard to say how things got moved. And when it comes to levels of being connected, when it comes to seeing how plants transform and stuff like that, I really think that there are smaller beings that are out there assisting when it comes to something like that. Gloria, have anything to say about fairies?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because I was going to say my turn.
Yes.
There are so many different dimensions of existence, and depending upon the way that you can be tuned in and to perceive. So you have, I think Einstein proved up to 8 levels of dimension, and since then I think science is like 14 levels and beyond of dimensional existence, and they test that utilizing light reflecting through light particles as they go through different substances. And I don't have the details, and it would be too much to talk about in the show, but it's basically dealing with light particles, random quarks, things like that. And so when the light particles reflect through, they've proven these different levels of dimension. Well, when you have different vibrational rates, things can exist that we cannot physically see unless the vibration rate slows down or unless our vibration rate speeds up. So it could very well be that they exist, and it could just be that we can't see them. I myself, when my son asked if Santa Claus existed, you know, I told him, I said, I have never seen him. I said, but I believe in him. And so there is something to be said for your belief system and holding space. Just like there are so many, the awareness and the consciousness level of each individual that expects the sun to rise, and it does every morning. It expects the trees to grow. There is a consciousness and an energy that comes from that that holds the space of our existence.
Oh, wow.
So I believe in your fairies. I believe in I believe in fairies, and I believe in unicorns, and I always have and I always will. And mermaids.
And mermaids, yes. Yeah, I definitely believe that there's probably mermaids out there we can't, you know, see them.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I'm trying to remember that current movie that it was either last year or the year before that was an animated version, but it was addressing that again. It was like Fern Gully. Fern Gully was when I was a kid. I think, Lori, do you remember
Kel?
Fern Gully?
Do you mean Kel? Kel?
Kel? Maybe,
K-E-L-L,
I don't know.
Kel?
Kel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can't remember the name of that last one they had. But anyway, it's
out of Ireland dealing with forest nymphs.
Yeah. But I think that's really true. It's like they are so fast that our consciousness on a certain level just doesn't see them. And you'd have to be in a place where you could be faster. And I think opening your mind and opening in you're willing to say that things do exist, that, you know, you have interactions with them on a different level.
But wouldn't it be cool to see a unicorn now?
Yes.
And if it can fly? I would start screaming.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I don't know. Have you seen Despicable Me?
Yeah, I've seen
the little
that
girl
before.
That believes in
very
unicorns,
funny.
You know, the first one, right? You know, I can go to Universal Studios and get a unicorn backpack. So they've got those available. So if you're willing to wear a unicorn backpack, I mean, everything is possible, I'm sure. That's one of the goals I wanted. Next time I go to Universal, I want to get a unicorn backpack. But anyway, there we go. I digress, but there we go. So, so that's so great. Boy, you're up kind of late. She's in New York.
And it's
must be a night owl. I know.
My baby went to sleep, so it's kind of like when she sleeps, I'm like, okay, I have time to do bottles. Full clothes.
There you go. Good
before
girl.
She wakes
well,
back up.
Yeah, moms just kept having, you know, depending on babies, they definitely have different timelines. So if you could go back and 10 years ago, go back and tell yourself something that you've learned within the last 10 years of helping in your transformation, what would you say?
Well, I will definitely say that I would think before I do. Because, you know, I did more, I could say back 10 years ago, I did more action than I did listening.
Mm.
And I realize now that you have to slow down and learn to pay attention. And if something doesn't feel right or somebody's not saying something right, then you have to tell yourself, you have to learn how to say the word no.
Right.
I definitely learned that too. I have to learn to say no. Because I always be like, okay, I'll do it. All right, yes. And now I learned to say, you got to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get no excuse, just say the word no.
I heard somebody say that today, that when you can learn to have a wise no, the yeses are more powerful in your life.
Uh-huh.
Because and I don't know if that's maybe a gender thing. Maybe you can ask Jamie about that. But when it comes to women, I know on a certain level that we're really encouraged to be more yes people. More yes in the way that we do life. And when we can be in a more powerful level of what's right for us and what's no for us, especially our no's, the yeses can be that much more powerful. So that would be something that I can know. So what do you think about that, Jamie? Do you think that it's a different gender thing?
Am I on?
To being, yes, you're on. Would it be
hello?
Yes or no's? Hi. Would it be
did you unmute
when it,
me?
When it
okay.
comes to gender?
Let me
what do you
see.
Think about that?
When it comes to gender,
well, do you agree with her that when you're learning to be more in just a place when you've got your yeses and no's and they're more defined?
Well, it definitely helps to make a decision and not be in between. I myself, I try to. if it's about a person, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if it's something outrageous, I'll probably just say no. It depends on the individual and what they're asking, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. But you've said that to your, if you go back 10 years, would that be something that you would be reminding yourself about don't be so quick on your yeses?
Yeah, that would be a good, that's a good idea, actually. And maybe to think out things a little more before you do say yes.
I've heard that there's an old Chinese proverb that says that the wise man waits 3 days to make a decision. When something, they're having to contemplate something, they wait for 3 days to have a very clear mind and thoughts about something before they...
Well, if you have 3 days to consider something, I guess you should take the time. A lot of times you don't have that time to think about, so you have to either make a... If it's a snap decision or some sort of quick decision, then you have to trust your instincts, I imagine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things
gut.
That I wrote down. Yeah, I wrote that down about trusting myself on a deeper level and really going with that gut knowing instead of like looking to see what the rest of my outer influences might be encouraging or disencouraging for myself. Is something like that is coming from that place of my own trusting myself and going by what excites you. Like I said, we were talking about purpose before too. It's like when I have a sense of purpose or passion on something, really trusting that on a level because it's something that can carry me quite far. I'm getting a little deep here. Watch out.
Yeah.
you said that you love nature. He was talking about that you love nature.
Yes. Adore nature.
And so, okay, but you know what I noticed, and I paid attention, I noticed that trees all have faces. So
yes.
Do you think that's probably people say that trees that have faces and everything, like their branches, like they, when you're talking and stuff like that, they can hear and that what you say goes out to the universe through their branches. That's
I
what
think
I hear.
Everything. Yeah, I think everything is really kind of carries our message. And when it comes to nature, like we were talking about the slowing down, I always loved another movie. I think it was Pocahontas when she went to go talk to Grandmother Willow. And the Native Americans definitely have that tradition of going to nature for their wisdom. And I remember that was such a beautiful thing where Grandmother Willow kind of lifted up all of her branches and Pocahontas went in to speak with her and to get her wisdom, to ask for counsel on that kind of level. So when it comes to being in nature, it just slows you down. It really helps you to come from that level of connecting to something bigger than ourselves. And I really think that that is the universe, or, however you want to define that, being the source or God or however people want to label that. It's that's something that's really helping us to expand on a level that's bigger than ourselves. And, nature's wise. Nature is resilient. Nature is just holds us in such a place of love and commitment to life that it's beyond words, really. Because, when people go into a beautiful garden and you just allow yourself to be filled with that vibrational joy, you feel it. And it does transform you. It does
that high vibration.
Yes. Yes. It is going out there and hugging a tree. I know they had a tradition too. I'm pulling out all my traditional things I've learned over the years. Native Americans, when they would have to go into something that would give them, that they were seeking courage, they would lean their back against a tree. And it helps to ground you and it helps to give you a sustained strength and energy that the trees embody. So and test that out. It's just going back and, sit down and lean up against a tree for a little while to be grounded.
Because even touching them, energy, right?
I say it again?
You said that they have energy. Because when you always, sometimes I touch a tree too. But, sometimes I don't say it out loud and say hi because I'm like, they say that they hear you when you're not saying it out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was listening to a radio show and there was a psychic on there and she had one of the ladies calling in for messaging and it was up in the Redwood area. And the psychic said, you know, the trees want you to know that they love it when you come and walk and you whisper to and you think of them and you admire their beauty because they're admiring yours at the same time. And the caller was just blown away. So she just said, how do you know I walk through the trees? And she said, oh, they're wanting to give you a message. So it's that kind of connection that's being made all the time. So when you sense
well,
something speaking to you, it really is. Go ahead, Gloria.
The job of the trees on the planet Earth has many purposes, one of which is to purify the air. And so going from that, you look at the physiology of the tree as well. And I experienced a time where I ended up having some work done and some cleansing work, and I had some really intense energy, and I was drawn to lie down under a tree, and I could feel the roots of the tree pulling the negative energy out and into the root system. It was really an amazing experience, and so you look at not only the function and the physiology and the energy, I mean, you've got so many elements that come into play with this, and trees are very powerful. And most people don't recognize that the communication of trees can be very intense. There was one time I heard them and they were like listening. I wasn't as clear as I wanted to be, but it was like listening to garbled radio waves from a shortwave radio set, and I could hear them talking and communicating. It was really a great experience.
Beautiful.
So I think it's just really coming from a place of knowing that that's occurring all the time. And giving ourselves permission to kind of listen in and start having those conversations. You know, I don't think anything now of walking down the street and, you know, whether I do it just in my mind or I'll whisper it and I'll just going, you guys look so great today. And it's most of the time when I hear them, it's kind of like a Toy Story, you know, when they've got the little Martians that go, woo, you know, they're like, hey. So you've got a whole, bank of flowers. Yes, they all kind of talk in unison to me. So it's
well,
interesting.
And what you're doing with communicating with them is you're having an interaction on a number of levels. You can walk past a tree or you can stand in a tree. You can send out the energy of love from you just like you would with your child. You know,
uh-huh.
Get a sense of that tangible feeling of love. When you look at your child and you feel that love, think about how that feels and quantify it. And then you can walk along and you can exude love to animals, to insects, to plants. And it's almost a way of, in my perception, it's a way of helping to detoxify the planet from a conscious level.
And when my daughters were little, I was going through the practice of just doing, you know, journaling, mindful journaling. And so every morning I would get up and know and I'd have a certain chair and a certain time that I would write. And one of my daughters came to me, she started writing herself, and she said, Mom, guess what my journal just said? It said, the birds sing the truth.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, isn't that so true? I got chills when she said that to me because I knew it was spot on. It's spot on. If we could understand that language, the birds sing the truth. And they sing in the morning. They sing in the morning. They sing in the day and celebrate the day, and then they sing at night right before it gets dark.
Ooh, I never knew that.
They sing
at
3 a.m.
Yeah, the birds sing the truth.
Oh, we have that up here.
When your little one's getting older, ask her to just write down things that she hears and just, like, make it a regular, what a gift to teach her to be journaling right away when she can, you know, start out scribbling. And let her scribble. Create these great little things, and it's like, you know, who's to say it's her way of communicating with the way that she does the color and shapes and everything else, and just make it to something that she's always has access to. I was listening to a conversation with Natalie Goldberg and Julia Cameron. Both are really well-known writers that have encouraged people to come from a new level of conscious writing, and they're saying that it's the new form of prayer. It's the new form of spirituality. It's the new religion. To be out there being able to express ourselves in a way of journaling. And that could be through scribbling or that could be through writing. It just really helps the whole body to express itself. So I think we'll talk about that the next show. Well, thank you for calling in and for, you know, taking care of those bottles. That's awesome.
I know.
The baby's so
and
late.
I'll definitely
that,
teach her about hugging a tree.
yeah, absolutely. You know, and anything she says that she's, when she's fucking, she's like, you know, ask her, say, what are the flowers saying? What are the birds, you know, what are the trees saying? When we really teach our kids that, you know, they're hearing and it's not wrong, it's such a gift. I mean, that's one of the things that I had when I was little is I was stifled because I would share things like that with my mom and dad, and they say, no, you're not hearing that. That's not true. So they were denying me the way of what I was expressing and hearing in the world. And so I got to doubt myself that I was actually. Right. And, you know, they're saying each generation is tuned in that much more with what's really happening on the planet. And, you know, they haven't been succumbing to media and all the other things that really influence them. So when it comes to levels of, you know, really appreciating what they're getting for a message and not making it wrong, but just making it interesting, it's like, oh, what are you hearing? What are they saying to you? You know, it's like having that imaginary friend. Well, is that imaginary friend really, it could be a fairy. It could be something that they're saying at a higher level. And if they're not shut down, that's a way of having it being communicated. Unfortunately, a lot of kids, I think, who are autistic and have these different things that society would say was a challenging thing is actually something that's just showing their minds are processing at such a faster level that, you know, the normal schools aren't being able to, you know, access, helping them to access what they're really hearing on just a genius level with their gifts and what they do.
And that ties in with our 13th strand of DNA being active because all of the children after a certain date were born with their 13th DNA strand active. Most of us before, and I don't remember exactly when, but when I was born, only the 12 strands are active. So the 13th allows them to see more, hear more, and do more.
Mm-hmm. So just really, you know, acknowledging those little ones because, you know what, they are totally getting it. Oprah just had a wonderful soul Sunday, I think it was with her teaching classes, where she's got, I wish I could remember her name, but it was called Conscious Parenting. And
that's
the parenting
me.
Was really, huh?
That's me.
That's you? Conscious Parent?
That's my program.
But
conscious
it's
parenting.
That. Right, and it's that recognizing that you've got something in front of you, you've got this being in front of you who understands you on a level that you don't even know yourself. And as you can allow yourself to not make them necessarily wrong, but understand that they're there to help you to learn who you are and help you to grow up to who you are totally meant to be, that it's this, you know, unique opportunity to really have, you know, they say that your children are your best teachers. And they're really helping you to grow and to be the beings you're meant to be. So and that's just a process for all of us. So, well, we're out of time like we normally get. 30 minutes just goes so fast. I want to thank everybody for joining us, all our cafeers, and hopefully got a new one in New York. So we will see you next time here at the Transformation Cafe. Thanks for joining us.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe.